Hello, and welcome to Columboys, the podcast all about the stainless steel, white smock, life and death world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and with me as always is Ben.
Hey, Mac.
Hey, Ben. This week we're taking a look at Season 2, Episode 6, A Stitch in Crime. This week, in the role of the villain is the wonderful, incomparable, irreplaceable, though Zachary Quinto is also very good. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only Leonard Nimoy. This episode was released 3 years after the original series and 6 before the first Star Trek movie, so in that kind of quiet period. Yep. I think the animated series came out later this year.
Okay. I used to watch that.
No, it's not very good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It wasn't that great, but...
All in all, Leonard Nimoy played the half-human, half-Vulcan in 8 movies, 3 series, and 3 video games, starting in 1968 up until his death in 2015. Leonard Nimoy has passed, but he has been and will always be our Spock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he is fantastic in this episode.
He's so good.
He's really good.
He's so good.
Do you want to just jump right into the recap? Because it is actually a pretty complex one.
It's a very complex one. And yeah. I just want to say, my God, it is probably the tensest episode so far for me. Mm. Like, it really had me on the edge of my seat, just kind of clutching through the whole thing.
Really?
And I think part of that is just about sort of, you know, the plot and kind of the whole structure of it. I just wanted to say, like, it's very good, but it is also, yeah, there's a lot going on in it. Yep. So. Do you want to take it away?
So I think this is interesting because the only actual murder that takes place in this one is the cover-up murder.
Yeah.
So the victim, or the ostensible victim, doesn't actually die in the episode.
No.
The victim of the first attempted murder is a doctor. An older
Dr. Heiderman,
who has a heart condition.
Yes.
He and Leonard Nimoy's character, Dr. Mayfield, thank you. They are surgeons. They've been working on an experimental transplant procedure, I believe is what they said.
It's actually...
Or is it a drug?
It's a drug.
It's a drug to assist with transplants.
Yeah, to assist with transplants, basically to eliminate rejections.
Yes. So they're working on a drug, and Mayfield believes that it's ready to go, and this older doctor believes that it needs another year of testing.
Yeah, basically he is willing to wait, and Mayfield is impatient and wants the credit and wants to get it out the door.
So he makes a plot. The doctor has a heart attack, and Mayfield makes a plot to operate and then install
dissolving sutures.
Now, we don't know, this is not something we find out early on. We just know that something is up with the surgery and the suture, but we don't,
right?
I mean, we don't know because neither of us are medical professionals,
right? Well, I'm certainly not a medical professional, but yeah. Based on the sort of reactions of the nurse, like,
yeah,
it's clearly a suggestion of, you know, like, you, even
something's,
if you don't
wrong
know
with the surgery, yeah,
you know enough to gather that. He has somehow sabotaged the sutures. It's not until later that it is explicitly laid out for us, but it is definitely a thing where you're like, oh no, he's going to come apart.
So basically, he's replaced the heart valve with an artificial heart valve.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of installing it permanently, he's essentially put in temporary stitching.
Right.
And as soon as a couple days have passed, because of the pressure of the heart valve, his heart is essentially going to blow a valve and he's going to die.
And it'll just look,
it'll look like a heart attack because he already had this heart condition.
Right.
Now, immediately after the operation, the nurse finds this suture and notices that it feels different than the permanent suture. And she makes an appointment with Mac,
right?
Mac, and she goes to. She tells the doctor that she's suspicious of something, and he tracks her down when she's leaving and hits her in the head with a lead pipe.
Right, and kills her immediately. I mean, he also takes the time to gaslight her while she is at the desk.
Yeah,
basically trying to sow doubt in her mind.
Yeah, he basically says, "Yeah, tell the cops, like, whatever, I don't care."
Yeah.
And so she instead calls this Mac,
sets an appointment with Mac.
Hi, Mac. It's not me.
It's not this Mac.
No, it's spelled differently.
It's a different Mac. M-A-C, not M-A-C-K.
That's right. Get the branding right.
Yep, it's important.
So then he he trashes her car, mm-hmm. goes to her apartment, trashes it in one of the most orderly trashing scenes I've ever seen. It definitely was like, trash it, but not in a way that like you'd break something that we can't replace for a second take.
I would almost call it a dainty trashing.
Yes, he definitely like takes everything
he's
that's
so
like a
delicate.
That's like a cushion he just throws on the ground. But yep. anything that's like porcelain or breakable, he like takes and places gently on
he
the
just
ground.
Like when he takes out the bowls, like he just kind of puts it haphazardly on the counter. He doesn't like throw it or shatter it or anything.
Nothing. He doesn't actually break anything. And then he tapes some morphine to the
underside of the sink in the bathroom.
Yes,
I believe.
Which is later found by the police. So he's basically set it up to look like she was stealing drugs, and she mm-hmm. had access to the drugs in the operating. Or the not the operating room. The
no, in their lab.
In the little monkey lab.
Yeah, the monkey lab. Well, there are rabbits in there too, but yeah, in the animal lab that testing. They're testing.
This
on
is the
animals.
Office for. This is Mayfield's office.
Right. Right.
And presumably the other doctor's office, though we only seeing him in there for
a scene. Heiderman and Mayfield. Well, it's there again. It's the lab
where they're
working on this drug.
That's true, I guess, because we do see Mayfield's office elsewhere. And Columbo is brought in. He immediately doesn't believe that it's a drug thing.
Right, because there are no fingerprints.
Basically for that, and then also this nurse was like one of the nicest people in the world. Like everyone he talks to says that she was incredibly selfless and like went out of her way to help people. Yep. And like it doesn't really add up with Columbo. There's a red herring where they implicate an ex of the nurse who was a vet who was on drugs, I think, after the war.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was getting clean basically in the hospital when she worked at the VA hospital.
Right.
And then they started dating and she broke it off with him because she basically told him, you have gone from, you know, having drugs as a crutch to having me as a crutch.
Yeah.
Which is
and
harsh.
Then, so Columbo buys his story.
Yeah.
Tells the doctor as much. The doctor drugs the ex-boyfriend who
breaks into his apartment and waits for him,
chloroforms
him and then shoots him up.
Yeah. It's unclear to me whether that guy died.
Yeah. Well, he falls down the stairs after this kind of amazing, like, they used sort of a lava lamp filter
to
demonstrate.
Yeah, I think it's just like paint on a gel, basically.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it's good.
But it's all very hazy. I mean, it sort of accurately, you know.
Portrays the, like, oh, I'm so drugged up,
I'm having
trouble moving.
Senses,
And he takes a tumble down the stairs, but it's not clear that he's dead.
At least I think he's injured enough that the police can't speak with him. Because Columbo doesn't
seem to know. Somebody
had a conversation with him. Yeah, but it's not. I mean, it's not clear what he'd remember after he was knocked out and then like injected with morphine right after. So
yeah, I don't know how much you'd recall after getting shot up with morphine.
I just don't know. So there is a scene where Columbo. It's interesting because this is probably the angriest we've ever seen Columbo get.
Yeah.
Maybe outside of the original of Prescription Murder.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's probably the other time we've seen him get angry is when he got angry at the witness.
Yeah, but in this one, it's so clearly motivated by I'm not
fucking around anymore.
I'm not fucking around with you anymore. If you murder him, we will do an autopsy and I will put your ass in prison.
If he dies, we're gonna look at his valves and we're definitely gonna see
that you did this.
You did this, because I know you did this.
Yeah.
I can't prove it right now because the proof is inside this dude.
Inside him. But if he dies,
yeah.
I have that proof. And it's a very it's a really wonderful moment because it's very clearly him telling the guy, you better go fix this or you're fucked either way.
Yeah.
And I really liked it actually a lot because it's a moment where Nimoy is really trying to gloat and be, you know, and be on his high horse, and Columbo immediately just knocks him off of it.
Yeah. I think Leonard Nimoy does a really good job. This is sort of a similar similar to his Spock role, I would say, in that it's very controlled. Like, he does get mad occasionally, but he is very generally very controlled.
But he's very measured through the whole thing. I would say this is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum from Murder by the Book.
Right.
Where he's just sort of like, he smiles and fakery, but he's really a terrible murderer.
Yeah.
You know? Where this is one where, like, Nimoy is actually pretty good at this in a very chilling way.
Yeah, and I think if he had had any, you know, if there had been any detective who wasn't as on the ball, you know, like suitable for framing, anybody could have caught that guy. That guy sucked. you know?
Yeah.
Like, that guy was just terrible. This one in particular, I think Columbo, because Columbo is so like prone to digging deeper, and this guy gets everything. It is sort of, you know, the surgery is sort of a metaphor, because everything on the surface seems
okay.
Completely like that all makes sense, but when you get inside of it, it just doesn't work properly.
Yeah. And there's very much like that's a lot of the tension that I felt watching this was kind of understanding the idea of like Heiderman is literally a ticking time bomb.
Right.
And feeling that pressure, you know,
and
especially
you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, because there's such a long period where you know that Columbo has no idea.
Right.
What's going on
and
with
he,
that?
He
just knows enough to know that something's wrong.
He goes and talks to this doctor who's in who's still in the hospital recovering, and he tells him about the case and what's been going on, and there are those scenes, and it does seem like outwardly this guy seems completely fine.
Yeah, he seems like he's doing okay.
Yeah, it actually seems like he's doing great. Like, for a guy who recently had heart surgery, he seems like he's really recovering pretty well.
Yeah, he seems pretty chill and mostly just irritated that he's stuck in a hospital bed.
Right, which he is from the very beginning.
Yeah.
It's interesting to have the victim sort of be a more active participant in a Columbo.
He's a little bit more of a dead man walking
than
a dead man.
We should point out that Anne Francis, this is actually her second appearance, the nurse. She was in the Roddy McDowall episode. She was the secretary.
Oh.
Yeah. Anne Francis, of course, starred in Forbidden Planet, along with our good friend and my personal nemesis, Robbie the Robot.
Mm-hmm. Some unresolved nightmares.
Listen,
there.
IMDb needs to answer the question, why does Robbie the Robot have an IMDb page? It's frankly, it's unacceptable.
Well,
it's unacceptable that he has an IMDb page.
Look, if Robbie has an IMDb page, you could have an IMDb page.
If Robbie has an IMDb page, then a Klieg light could have an IMDb page if it appeared in an episode of a show. Like, a spatula could have an IMDb page.
Okay.
I'm mad about this.
I can tell.
Okay.
I'm not trying to disagree with you.
I'll fight you to the death.
No, that's okay.
Well, it's going to happen.
Can I wave my arms at you like Robbie?
That's how we're going to wrap up season two.
We're
going to fight to the death.
Yeah.
And
oh, do we get the Kirk versus Spock music?
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll fight with big spears with like a large flat sumo mat on the one side.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but like foam spears, maybe?
No, actual spears.
Okay.
What would be the point of fighting to the death with foam spears? That's gonna take forever. You know how long it's gonna take me to kill you with a foam spear? You don't want that.
I mean, I don't want you to kill me.
Well, I don't want to kill you either, but we've already signed the contract for that's how we're gonna end season two, is a fight to the death.
Remember, we're anti-murder here.
Don't tell, it's not murder, it's a contest to the death. That's a different thing.
I think that's still murder.
No, it's very different. Like,
no, legally, I don't think you
no,
can.
No, trial by combat is a recognized sport, and so it's not
I don't think that's true.
If you sign the waiver, it's basically legal.
I don't think
like
that's true.
Like mostly legal.
I'm gonna have to run that by my lawyer.
I
don't think it'll hold up in court.
I don't think you need to.
Mac, how many episodes do we have left in season two?
We got like three, so you're gonna have to really prepare.
All right, I got
in
a few
hurry.
Weeks.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that this episode is great.
It is.
I really love it. The tension between Columbo.
Oh, we didn't finish the. Oh, so Columbo. I just realized. Wait, we didn't finish how this.
Oh, yeah. Columbo
yells at him. The doctor drugs Hyderman so that he can put him back in surgery.
Takes the bad suture out, puts good suture in, and then disposes of the old suture by grabbing Columbo and sort of shaking him so that he can plant
the sutures on him because he thinks that Columbo won't look there. Because basically Columbo brings the cops into the operating room.
Yeah.
And raids it to try and find those sutures.
If I have any complaints about the structure of the episode, I wish the ending had a little more space. Because it is one of these ones where it's like they literally ran out of time.
Yeah, no, that's clearly what happened.
Like he just goes, but there's one place I didn't check, me. Mm-hmm. And then he holds it up and that's the end of the episode.
And I
you
just
don't get a chance to see.
No, I'm with you. I really wanted to see Nimoy
respond. You don't get to see any sort of follow through. The cops don't come in and lead him out. It's just over. Freeze frame. He's done.
Yeah. A little bit more of the scenery chewing.
It definitely
would have been great.
Feels like they ran out of time.
Yeah.
And they were just like, well, we got it.
Yeah.
This is a complete mystery, therefore the end.
Yeah. We got you there.
But yeah, I sometimes wish there was a little more of a because I do like those ones where the person sort of like is let out or the Nick Cassavetes super creepy I've always loved you. That one. That was weird. But I mean but it's interesting and I like it.
Right.
And it isn't just like a freeze frame, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It isn't a police squad ending, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. But yeah, this is a really, really great episode.
Yeah, for sure.
I like this one an awful lot. I'm not a fan of surgery scenes. I mean, they don't like do any close-ups like we get these days. When there's the moment of like Columbo being squeamish as the doctor is explaining to him how the sutures work.
Yeah.
Like, that's me. That is exactly how I feel in that situation too.
Right, but you don't really see anything beyond like a red piece of gauze, basically.
Yeah, you're basically just seeing like red fluid in a pump that is not
body. It's not blood colored.
No, no.
It's like it's 70s blood colored. It's like it's a very
Kool-Aid.
Red. Yeah.
It's just Kool-Aid.
It's super fakey, but
yeah. No, and that's the thing is it's not that bad.
Right.
There's nothing that is really like over the top in that front because it's 70s.
Yeah.
And it's nice for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely an episode that I felt very tense through most of it. But, you know, not in a like, oh, I need this to end, but just like, oh,
what's
going to
happen?
The clock's ticking.
What's going to happen next? Yeah. It is sort of a question like, will this guy die before Columbo figures it out?
Because that was constantly the thing that was like that was causing me to clench was I didn't know if he was going to save this guy or if it was going to be the guy's going to die and that's how he figures this out.
I'm reminded of I recently saw a clip of Hitchcock being interviewed and he said drama is like, for example, put a bomb in a restaurant, the bomb goes off, the audience is surprised. And then it's over.
Right.
Tell the audience that there's a bomb under the table that will go off in 10 minutes. And now you've got drama. Like, because when the audience knows something that the people in it do not, then you feel like you're sort of in, you've got this secret and you understand.
Yeah, you have that, like, you feel the compulsion to communicate it and you can't because it's a one-way interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really...
It's very similar to, like, this is kind of a weird digression, but how is that new for the show? But Game of Thrones, the season with the Red Wedding, I had already read that book.
So you knew it was
coming. So I knew it was coming, and so I had a different thing, which was where, like, all the characters like, well, we got to get to this wedding, and I'm like, oh, guys.
And you're like, no.
You shouldn't.
Though.
I would recommend you do not do that, but I know you will, but, oh, boy, you really should not.
Yeah, don't do that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that there are cases where telling the audience about something, it enhances it, or it creates a different kind of enjoyment that's really fun and palpable and, like, You feel it. You feel that tension.
Yeah. This was a really nice kind of spin on the Columbo formula, for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what else I want to add to it. I mean, like, I took some minor notes about, there's not a lot of like breakout, oh, that's the most incredible outfit I've ever seen. I just want to say, like, for the most part, Nimoy generally looks great. I mean, he's
wearing a lot of tan 70s suits, but they're very well cut.
But also, like, he's a trim, tall guy. He was in good shape.
You know, he's only 6 foot tall. Really? I always thought he was taller, but I guess it's probably just because Shatner's so short.
Yeah, everybody else is kind of short in film and television. Yeah. So 6 foot is a pretty tall guy, all things considered.
But that's not that much taller than me, but I always kind of thought that he was more like your height.
But 6'3", I think, starts putting you in the, like, you're the heavy for a villain,
right?
You know, at that point, because you tower over.
Well, I know you'd be like a giant in a film.
Basically. I'd be like Jaws, but without the cool teeth.
Well, they give you the cool teeth.
Oh, is that how that?
Yeah, he didn't. Oh. Richard Kiel doesn't actually have those teeth.
No,
you might be interested to learn. No, he just has normal teeth.
Mac, you've ruined it.
He's
for
just
me.
Like a normal guy.
It's
movie magic. Magic.
Oh.
The magic of movies. the only kind of thing that I wanted to note, like a fun little Star Trek aside, is that Major Barrett Roddenberry, but not at the time, plays a uncredited
she's
non-on-camera role of the announcer for the hospital.
Yeah.
So all of the various...
She's like the PA, because she calls basically that Columbo has a phone call, and it's the voice of the Enterprise.
That's right. She was the voice of the computer in the original series, and then eventually would go on to be the voice of all Federation starships for the next...
Forever.
Forever. Well, yeah. Not now,
right.
Obviously.
Sure, but...
She's also passed on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of a fun little thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, who knows how that happened. IMDb did not give me any indication, but I'm guessing that she was friends with Leonard Nimoy from...
It's very likely because they brought Leonard Nimoy over and then they went, oh, this would also be kind of a cool thing. A little Easter egg for those of you who like that show Star Trek.
Yeah. I like that show, Star Trek.
I know.
Did you know?
I am aware.
Have I talked about it enough on this podcast?
You've talked about it a little bit. I feel like you will talk about it more.
I will probably never stop talking about it for my entire life.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I know what I signed up for. Yeah, on the clothing end, Nimoy generally looks pretty good. His crimin suit is pretty great when he goes over to the guy's home to drug him.
I think that
the driving gloves he wears to not have fingerprints on everything are really great gloves. There's an outfit he wears at a party he has at his house that is a like a blue roll neck and then like plaid pants, and he looks really good in that. And then there's a jacket he wears with it that I don't think goes with the pants, but I like the jacket a lot, which is like a blue and white striped slubby kind of summer jacket that is... I know your eyes are glazing over.
No, I'm sorry. I was thinking about a different thing, but do your thing. I'm elsewhere right now.
So that that jacket is a little slubby, so it's like a linen or a silken linen kind of mix, and it definitely moves like it's a very airy, like it's a good... It's a very good, we're on the boardwalk kind of jacket, is what I'm saying.
All right.
But yeah, there's really not a whole lot
the only other fashion thing that I would point out is that I think this might be the scruffiest that Columbo has ever been.
Yeah.
When he shows up the first day, I guess his wife is not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
She's been sick, and so he's been... up all night taking care of her. I'm not really clear exactly why this is upsetting him so much.
Well, so it kind of comes across as a mix of taking care of her, but maybe also being kept up because she's coughing all night long.
Yeah, maybe he's taking care of kids. Like, sometimes he has kids, sometimes he doesn't.
Who knows?
It depends on the writer.
He's unshaven.
He's unshaven. He hasn't had any coffee.
Yeah.
He's like, he just starts opening an egg in the middle of the crime scene and like scattering eggshells all over. Yeah. And they're like, Lieutenant, what are you doing?
This is still a crime scene.
He's
Lieutenant.
Like, oh, right. Yeah. I just really like that. I think you know, Peter Falk is always kind of bringing in little very real moments. Yes. Like I definitely feel like as much as Columbo is kind of a series of affectations, I think there is very much a realness that Peter Falk brings to him that's very good.
So that reminded me of a moment that I think is a really good example of that. And it may actually just be in the script, but yeah. But there's a point where he's talking to Heiderman when he is recovering.
Yeah.
And then Mayfield comes in and yells at him. And as he's leaving, he like hits his face on the door.
Mm.
And then he's kind of like sort of apologizes again and then goes out the door. And it's one of those moments where it's like, it could have been written in there, but Peter Falk yeah. could have also just hit his
just
face on the door
himself. Yeah.
And then just sort of,
well, we know he's a little clumsy. He did fall down a hill in a previous episode.
That's right.
So, yeah.
And that's what made me think of this. Oh, that might've actually been a real human moment. And he's just so good that he just kept rolling with it.
Yeah. I think that he manages to sort of make what seems like this caricature into what feels like an actual person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's gonna
do it. Yeah, that's
it.
I really don't have anything else to add
either.
It's a great episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
A Stitch in Crime. You should absolutely watch this one.
Definitely worth watching. So that's gonna do it for this week. This has been the Columboys. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And just one more thing, sir.
Yes.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah.
Columboys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Columboys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.
Have you stared at the waveform of your own laugh for a while?
No.
I don't recommend it. It's bad. Not you personally, but like your own one.
Oh,
when you see it, it's not good. It makes you feel super weird to see what your laugh looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's weirder, I think, if you look at that and then try to recreate it in a synth engine. So definitely don't do that.
Why would I do that?
I don't know, but I wanted to put the idea in your head to see if
it
happened.
I don't have a synth engine. I don't.
They're free on your computer.
You're free on the computer. Hello, and welcome to Columboys.